But okay, that's it. You guys won't hear it again, but I just wanted to to play those for you. I just wanted to share with you guys, because I just like what it meant. You know, I liked the titles. I liked what it meant for each of us. And so I just wanted to share that part with you. But it's so neat, because remember, sorry, Debbie, next slide, that remember, we are continuing today and always. Pathway of Hope is continuing the power of Pentecost. Amen. What we have through that, and we are going to continue that Acts church. That is what God has spoken. Amen. To our church. Pathway That's of Hope right. will be a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center, and that is the Acts church, and going Amen. Out and helping people to be disciples and Amen. Know the Lord. So thank you.
Well, we're going to open up in prayer. Miss Evelyn, will you come and open us up in prayer?
Good morning. In Matthew 5:13, it says, "You are the salt." Sorry. "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Matthew 5:13. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we could gather here to worship you, to give you honor, to give you praise, to give you glory, and to be in awe of you. We thank you this awesome privilege that you chose us to be the salt on the earth. We pray that we never lost that saltiness by reading your word every day, mm-hmm. being rooted in your word, and being anchored in your word. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
How about we all stand for the opening scripture for today, and it'll show up on the screen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus is saying to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he? And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy.
Yes, Lord. Let these praises be pleasing in your sight, Lord, for they are praises from the heart. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that's here today. We thank you for your amazing love that you have for us, Lord. That you are in our presence today. We thank you, Lord. You may be seated. We're going to continue to honor the Lord as we go to offering time.
This is a joyous time to be able to give back to the Lord. We are so blessed and honored to be able to give to God. Lord, we just thank you that you have just made a way that we can earn a living. You've made a way that we are able to survive in this community. We've made a way that we can reach out in this community. So we ask you to bless the giving as we give, Lord. It's all yours anyhow, and we are so blessed. And we just thank you for your richness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Y'all know that chorus, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
Heavenly Father, this is yours. Lord, we truly thank you and praise you for this time of continuing our worship unto you, Lord God, our praise, our honor unto you, glorifying you with your tithes and our offerings, Lord. This is yours, for all increase comes from you. Everything we have is from you. Our freedom, our liberty, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And then your provisions that you constantly provide for us, Lord. Lord, it is such a blessing to be able to honor you, to glorify you, to praise and worship you, Lord, with your tithes, 10% of the increase that you give us. And then above and beyond with offerings as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you ask us to be generous givers as you so freely and generously have given all to us. So we thank you and praise you for that, Lord. Lord, you know that Pathway of Hope wants to be a light here in this community and beyond. And Lord, I thank you and praise you that this will be used to glorify you. I truly thank you also that 10% of the non-designated tithes and offerings helps the Foursquare denomination, which include is helping the missions around the world, Lord, to continue to spread the gospel, to be a church, part of the body of Christ around the world, glorifying you, helping others to know you, to receive you, to be trusting in you, loving you, obedient to you, and loving others, to being awesome disciples of you, Lord, and helping others to be awesome disciples for you. Lord, we truly thank you and praise you for your love for us. Thank you. This is yours, and we present it to you now, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Can you give Debbie a Bible? Can you... You are, okay, I want you to touch it. Yeah, just, that's good, Debbie, because I know you're busy with the slides, and I need you to be busy with the slides, but I'd like you to touch it and hold it. This is alive. Amen. And this is God's love for us. And right now, I want us to claim his love for us. So, Lord, we come before you right now, touching this precious holy word, which we are so thankful and grateful for, that in the United States, we still have this freedom to have the word of God in our hands, Lord God. I thank you and praise you that many of us have even more than one Bible, that we have access through the internet to several different translations of the word. Lord, I truly thank you for your precious, holy, living, breathing word, and may it speak to us. May we receive what you have to share to us, each and every one of us. May we receive it and be willing to receive everything that you have for us, that you freely give to us, Lord, the power of your precious holy word. Whether we've heard the scriptures that are going to be shared or not, may we receive the insight and the power of your word again today, Lord God. We truly thank you and praise you for everything that you have for us in your fullness. May we be changed by the power of your word this morning, Lord. Thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Amen. So today's title for the message is rest. Rest. Some of you have gone through stuff, and sometimes schedules get busy and things happen, and they were kind of like maybe a little bit unexpected, and Sometimes it's just kind of good to have some rest, huh? Huh, Barbara? Yes, it is. No matter who we are, no matter what age we are, we all need rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the King James Version says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Some have memorized the Bible in the King James Version. And one thing about the King James Version with the ye's and the yeas and the thou's and the... I love it because it's very poetic. And when you hear somebody reciting it and saying it, it's just so beautiful. Like, have any of you heard Alexander Scorby and reading the word out loud? Some of you have the tapes or the CDs of Alexander Scorby and the Bible on tape or CD and or MP3s or whatever. But it's so beautiful and just it sounds so wonderful. I don't have much memorized in the King James Version. A lot of it was the NIV that I memorized from. But I also like looking at different versions and seeing what it says. So the New Living Translation, I'm sorry, it says, "Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I love the way there's this water that shows there because it's refreshing. I'm going to share some other translations. I don't have slides for this, but the NIV, as I mentioned earlier, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The NLT exemplifies that by saying, amplifies it, saying heavy burdens. Sometimes just the burden is enough, and you could use rest, but it's like it's covering it all. You got the heaviness, you got the labor. Well, okay, so let's go to the Amplified, because we know I like the Amplified, and it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." So we get that heavy laden that exemplified on that. "And overburdened. And I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls." The CEB says that, what is that, the Century English Bible? What is that? Contemporary English Bible, thank you. I forgot what it was. It says, "Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads." I remember sometimes, feeling like I was the donkey as a mother. Everybody, and I'd go, "Hee-haw, hee-haw," because whenever they would hand me something else, and I'd be like, and I go, so when my kids would throw me something else to carry, and I've got a heavy purse, and I got this, and I got that, I'm going, "Hee-haw," and I used to do that, and it's my little joke, sure, I'll carry it, "Hee-haw," but sometimes you feel like that, sometimes you just do, and then you're struggling, and then the ERV, the English Revised Version, I think is how that one says, it says, "You're tired from heavy burden you have been forced to carry." Sometimes you're forced to carry something you didn't even want. You didn't ask for it to come. It was a burden that you wanted, and all of a sudden, you are forced to carry it. Some people, you have a job loss. You are forced to carry that burden in the sense of trying to find another job and what do I do with the finances? Sometimes, unfortunately, divorce happens and you are forced to carry the challenges that come with that. So sometimes things happen, a death, an unwanted death, a spouse or a loved one, a dear friend, and you are forced to carry the challenges that come through that, through the grieving process and the mourning, all part of it, but it's still a struggle sometimes and a burden and a load. And it causes sometimes some other things that have to, whether you have to replace somebody, something maybe they were doing or helping with. So it forces a load or a burden on you. The ISV, the International Standard Version, says, I think is how you say it, right? ISV? It says, loaded down with burdens. So once again, that hee-haw. And then the Aramaic, it goes back to, I like seeing the Aramaic where it says labor and are forced to bear burdens. We see this forced, not so much several times, but we see in a lot of translations, it just says heavy burdens, burdens, loads. But the Weymouth went by the Greek where it says toiling, the Weymouth translation version of the Bible. Not many go to that one. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Greek for this, for labor, for weary, heavy laden, burdened, toiling. Well, the Greek, kopiao, is how it's is said. I may not be pronouncing it correctly, but to feel fatigue. And it's by implication to work hard. So that's why they're talking about laboring, heavy laden, but to bestow labor, to toil, or to be wearied. And it actually, when it was talking about it, it really comes from the word that means toil. So it's really going from that. Toil, when you look at it in the Greek, is a reducing of strength. Literally and figuratively, by implication of pains. Women, we can relate to this one. It says labor. Well, plus trouble. We all can relate to this. I was just teasing on the labor part. But, I mean, not that that's not easy. But labor plus trouble. Men have labored. Women have labored. And often there's trouble that comes along with the work that we have to do. I mean, it's just part of life. There's things that happen. And so it causes a weariness. Yeah. There's a lot to be said in that. The 1828, I love referring to this. I got onto this when I was watching the Truth Project by Dr. Del Tackett, the Focus on the Family put on. Incredible. If you have not seen it, it is awesome series. 13 lessons and intense about the truth of God's word, the power of God's word. And in that, he refers a lot to the 1828 Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language. So I bought that. You can get it even on for the computer, not just the physical, but I bought the big, heavy physical. But in it, for weary, it says, having the strength much exhausted by toil. So you can see it is totally and completely coming from that Greek definition. Or by violent exertion, tired, fatigued. This one I thought was interesting. Having the patience exhausted or the mind yielding to discouragement. That's a rest dealer, isn't it? Having the patience exhausted or the mind yielding to discouragement. I don't know about you, but I have failed in that more than once. I mean, I can relate to the having strength much exhausted, the toil, the violent exertion, tired, fatigued. But I liked the weariness, that part. Having the patience exhausted or the mind yielding to discouragement. And I have failed in that. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Come to me. Causing weariness, it's tiresome, yeah? But you know, even when you're exhausted by your patience being exhausted, even if your mind has been yielding to discouragement, that causes weariness, doesn't it? It's tiresome. When you're worried over things, that gets tiresome. When your mind then, worry, is yielding to discouragement. Because we have the God that says he will provide for us. We have the God that says, I am there with you, and I am helping you, and my load is easy, and my burden is light. So if we're worrying about stuff, oh, God, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? The word says don't do that. So we are taking on a weariness, and we are not resting. We are sinning by yielding our mind to discouragement. Discouragement that God said is not ours to have or to keep. I want you to know that I have failed in this. But I have a God that loves me. He's saying, Karen, I'm still there. And my rest and the power of my rest is still there for you. Just repent of yielding your mind to discouragement and look to me again. The one who is the God that nothing is impossible through me. Toil. I really wanted to get into that because I don't say that word toil a lot. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't go around saying, yeah, I toiled today. Yeah, it was a toiling day today. Boy, I toiled hard today. So, and I just don't use that. But I wanted to look more about that. So I looked online, the free online dictionary. And it was saying the noun part was exhausting labor or effort, a laborious task, mundane. I liked it. Remember the other one I said, hee-haw? Donkey work. Yeah, it's like, yes, so I was right. It's like, so cool. Drudgery, plodding, and hard, monotonous, routine work. We have all experienced that. The verb, to labor arduously, to move or travel with great effort or weariness. Haven't we all been there? Now, the work, activity directed toward or making or doing something. So we've toiled because we're doing that. We're doing some kind of activity toward, you know, making something or doing something, getting something accomplished. I like this one. Elbow grease. Exertion. Effort, travail, use of physical or mental energy, hard work. Then I looked under the thesaurus. And so, say that one word 10 times really fast. But toil, and I loved some of the things. Struggle was one of them. Grind, you know, and that's more like the definitions. Okay, but then an informal way, sweat. Debbie, can you go to that slide that shows the different ones? There's struggle. Then you have grind. Sweat. We've been there. You know, bend over backwards. I mean, haven't you bent over backwards to meet the needs of other people? To help people? And we can all feel that. Or you're bending over backwards to get a project done or something. You're sweating it out. It's like, okay, I got to do this. I got to do that. You've been sweating it. So those are informals. I like a slang, go for broke. Give it your all is another informal way. Push yourself. How many times have we had to push ourselves? So we know what that's like. And then, have we ever heard that saying, I'm dog tired. Work like a dog. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll need that refreshing. I thought, Lord, yes. When I saw that, I thought, oh, isn't that so true? But that's his rest. Remember it said cool, one of the terms? His rest is cooling. And when we're your dog tired, he can cool us off. He is awesome. Yeah, toil, to labor continuously, work strenuously, work extremely hard or incessantly, to proceed with difficulty, toiling over the mountains. We've had a lot of mountains we've had to climb, and it seems like you climb that one, and then there's another mountain to climb, and it's even higher and harder. Exhausting physical labor and effort. Yep, we've been there. But listen to this one. Wow. Something that binds, snares, or entangles one. an entrapment. It's a noun. It's often used in plural. Caught in the toils of despair. Discouragement. Yielding to discouragement. But it's a noun. So I was in my devotions this week, and I was reading something, and I was like, wow, Lord. Light bulb. So I went to read to you my light bulb. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 6 through 12. This is of King Amaziah. And it says, he also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim. But if you go, be gone, be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has the power to help and to overthrow. Then King Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? I just paid for them. And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. In other words, don't worry about that. So Amaziah discharged the troops. He listened to the man of God, what God was telling to him, and he discharged the troops that had come to him from Ephraim to go back home. Therefore, their anger was greatly aroused against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. Now, they didn't lose any money, but they wanted to fight, man. They wanted to, fight, man. We don't just want this money. And so they were upset that they didn't get a fight. But he still, even though they were upset, dismissed them, told them to go back, because he was being obedient to the word of God. Then King Amaziah, he strengthened himself, and leading his people, he went to the Valley of Salt and killed 10,000 of the people of Seir. Also, the children of Judah took captive 10,000 alive, brought them to the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock so that they were all dashed into pieces. So in other words, they killed and took care of 20,000. Okay, that's kind of gross. But in other words, they were doing what God was telling them to do. And they waited and did it in the way that God told them to do. But he was thinking, well, my army isn't big enough. So I need to get some more. And I'm going to get the Israelites to help out. And God's saying, no. But I already paid them now. And then God tells them, no. Trust me. I am the one that can help you. I am the one that can overthrow. And it doesn't matter how many there is. So just be, what matters is being obedient to me. And when he was obedient, what did they have? He was able to be strengthened, and they were able to defeat and have a victory. Verses 13 through 28, it continues on in the chapter. It's the whole chapter of 2 Chronicles chapter 25 is this story. It says, after a victory of the Edomites, he brought the gods of the people of Seir. He set them up to be his gods, and he bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Wow. He just had a victory. Just listen to God, and what happened? Something that bound him, a snare, an entanglement, an entrapment happened. It was very quick and very subtle. The Lord wants us to be alert, because entrapments are going to come in and sneak in. You're going to have an awesome victory of the Lord, and watch out, because an entrapment can come in that you were blindsided and you didn't even realize it. Celebrating, and it looks good, but it is compromising what God has said. God's word says, do not have any other gods before me. Amen. And he blew that one. So God sends a prophet again to him, as you're going in further, to speak to the king. And this time, though, he does not heed what God tells him to do. Wow. See, this is out of our love for one another. We are supposed to help each other. If we see each other and we're blindsided, we need to be teachable. We need to be willing to say, okay, I need to be corrected. And we need to, out of love, help each other. Because what is a blind side? What is a blind spot? Why does God warn us to not take the twig out of somebody else when you have a log in your own eye? Because he knows that there's blind sight. We often have said, wow, I don't want to raise my child the way that person did. And then all of a sudden you find yourself that you're raising that child the way that that person did. And you didn't want to, whether it's your parents or whoever, and so you're like blindsided. You didn't, and that yet when you saw it from an outside, you were going, wow, that child needed this or that, or should have been this or that, or they should have done it this way, or they should have reacted this way, or they should have handled it this way. And then all of a sudden, you do it the same way that you said on them, and then you're looking back and you go, oh, wow. Well, God knows that. And so that's our love for one another and helping us, helping each other, the body of Christ. And that means not just Christians here at Pathway of Hope, because the body of Christ is all Christ followers. It is not just about Pathway of Hope. So we need to help others out there to be encouraged and strengthened by the power of the Word of God and by the power of a love and kindness to each other. This is what we need to do. For God's glory, not for our own. In verse 1, and it talks about how King Amaziah was 25 years old when he took his reign, and he reigned for 29 years. And it says in verse 2 that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but watch what happened. And where this part of this is part of his failure. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but he was not doing it with a loyal heart. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31 talks about the two greatest commandments. But I like referring to the Mark, and it's in other parts of the Bible too, but I like this one because it talks about how, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, with your all. Some just don't include the mind, and so I love including that, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, everything, everything. I'm yours, Lord, everything I got, everything I'm not. I am totally and completely yours. Loyalty, faithful, always, no matter what, yours. And he wasn't doing that. He was just doing out of obedience, but not a submitted, humbled heart to the Lord that would allow loyalty that no matter what happened, God, I will praise you. Like a Job experience, God, I will praise you. If you take everything, you give and take away, I'm yours. Totally and completely yours. And the kingdom that I'm running is yours. Totally and completely yours. He did not have that loyalty. He was doing for a while what he was taught, but it wasn't a loyal heart. So therefore, when the man of God was correcting him and coming him again, he was not willing to heed. Therefore, he had consequences. Eventually, those consequences were death. Do you remember 2 Chronicles chapter 16, where it talks about King Asa of Judah, and he, the same thing, he was listening, being blessed, and then he wasn't going to heed anymore, and then he had wars and troubles. And verse 16, verse 9, as he is being warned by a prophet, a man of God, a priest, a pastor, in other words, one that was speaking the word of God, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Is your heart completely his? Because he's looking for that, because he's so there to strengthen you and help you through the trials and the troubles and the heavy laden and the burdens that you will have. He's there to help you. He's there to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him, as the New Living Translation says. to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. That's the Amplified. This is our God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about difficult times that will come. Perilous times and perilous man is one of the subtitles. But in verse 5, it talks about having a form of godliness, but denying its power. See, this was the king that Amaziah that was realizing he had a form of godliness for a while there. He was doing what was right. But he was denying its power. The power comes in surrendered, humbled, submissive, loyal, faithful obedience to the one true living God. And he warns in this one in 2 Timothy, run away from such people. Turn away from them. Always, these people are always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they're not willing to surrender their hearts to him. They're not willing to surrender themselves completely and totally, mind, soul, spirit, strength, to him. They are looking at this and go, oh, well, I agree with this. No, I don't want to agree with that. Okay, I'm not going to do that one. But I agree with this. Oh, no, I don't like that one. But no. This is the living, true word. When it says, thou shalt not steal, don't steal. Thou shalt not lie, don't lie. There's consequences. And God wants to bless us. And he tells us completely in this word, constantly showing us examples that you obey, blessings. Obey, blessings. Obey, blessings. Fruit will happen in your obedience to me. You may not see it right away, but it will be there. But when you're disobedient, consequences are there. God will not care. Does he forgive us? Yes. He totally and completely forgives us. And he will help us through the consequences when we're there, repenting and going back to him. But he's saying, my strength comes when your heart is totally and completely mine, willing to be corrected when I need to correct you. I am your loving Father. And just as an earthly father gives you gifts, I have so much more than an earthly father. I am not like an earthly father who is imperfect. I am perfect, and I love you, and I care for you, and everything that I have is yours. Be obedient to me, surrender to me. And that includes with being willing to repent and be corrected. And then he goes on in 2 Timothy. It talks about how carefully follow the doctrine, this word. Because he goes on in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Amplified, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will and thought and purpose and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about how the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. We will need this as we go through difficult times, as the new American Standard Bible subtitles this 2 Timothy chapter 3, difficult times will come. But in this promise of Matthew 11:28, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, who are burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. The Greek definition of the word rest, it says to repose. By implication, to refresh, to take ease, give, take, rest. Repose, because that is not a word that I use often either. I wanted to look that up. It says in the 1828 Noah Webster's American Dictionary, it says, rest of mind, tranquility, freedom from uneasiness. That discouragement brings uneasiness. That wearisomeness brings uneasiness. Repose, rest of mind, tranquility, freedom from uneasiness. And we were talking about the freedom we have through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Refresh. Refresh to cool, to allay heat. Remember when your dog tired, we need that cool refreshment to allay that heat. In this Tucson, Arizona, we sure could use that ice and that cool refreshment. To give new strength. And we were talking about that in our worship. We were praising and worshiping the Lord, talking about that strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. To give new strength, to invigorate, to relieve after fatigue, as to refresh the body, to revive, to reanimate after depression, to cheer, to enliven, to improve by new touches. Anything impaired. To revive what is drooping as rain refreshes the plants. To cease from labor, work, or performance. This is rest. I was looking, though, at revive that is drooping as rain refreshes the plants. And I received an email from our wonderful discipleship leader, Evelyn. And it was from a little devotional of Wayne Cadero about watering plants. And I was thinking of, Lord, wow, what timing. You are so speaking to us about resting because times are difficult and times are going to get more difficult before the Lord returns. But we have a promise in him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, when we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our personal Lord and Savior, it's not just that we know about him and we know who he is, but we have truly repented of our sins and truly received and trusted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Then at that point, it says in 1 Corinthians 6, 17, that we are united with the Lord and we are one with him in spirit. Wow. One with him in spirit. We are joined with him. We are united with him. And we are one with him in spirit. John chapter 7. Do you remember this scripture in verse 37 through 39? It's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord tells us how when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. That's why when I went faithfully to growing up to church twice a year, Christmas and Easter, and then I went through some confirmation classes, 7th through 8th grade, so I memorized all the books of the Bible. I memorized tons of scriptures, knew a lot about the Word and the stories in the Bible, but I didn't have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Knew of him. Knew a lot about this Word. Didn't have him as my Lord and Savior until after I graduated from high school and somebody invited me to a church, a boyfriend's parents invited me to this church. And so I went and they happened to have actually a guest speaker, but I had been searching and searching in the wrong places, but searching and for God's love. And then God ended that search through evangelist Luis Palau and what he spoke. It was God's timing. And what he spoke made me realize, wow, I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. I know about Jesus, but so does Satan. And I don't have him as my personal Lord and Savior. Wow. So it was at that point that I repented. And then, when I opened up the Word the first time, I was like, whoa! Did you see what this says? Wow! This is so cool! It was alive! It wasn't just black and white print on paper. It was alive. But it was because of the Holy Spirit. It was like too cool. It's like, thank you, Lord. Have I gone through dry times? Yeah, where it's more feeling like black and white. But it's in those valleys that I know that God is still with me. And there's power in this word, so I keep reading that word and claiming that word and praying to God, declaring the word. And then I start seeing it come up again and rising. And he starts saying, okay, Karen, here we go. But he was still, the power of the word was doing its work in me. He was saying, are you going to trust me even when you say that you don't, where am I? Just as King David, where are you, Lord? And he still faithfully loved the Lord and served the Lord and relied on the Lord and depended on the Lord. And God often will take us through those times. Are you going to still believe and claim this? Because, see, God said it. It's settled. It's whether we believe it or not and receive it. So I was going to not trust my emotions and not trust my feelings, because I like it when I got those good feelings and like, whoa, moments. And but it's still alive and true and full of that reviving power. It's still electrifying. And it is awesome, full of his energy and his strength. And John chapter 7, verse 38, it talks about, he who believes in me, in Jesus Christ, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, or the King James Version says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit will flow rivers of living water. This is our God. And then he talks to the Samaritan woman previously in John chapter 4. And she's going to the well. The woman that's, you know, discouraged by everybody. Everybody kind of like, you know, I don't do anything to her. She doesn't, you know, talk like us. She doesn't walk like us. She doesn't, you know, do this and that. She's done this and that. And so, you know, she was like ousted. And so Jesus talks to her, even though, you know, in this community that's basically ousted her. And he wasn't supposed to talk to her. Men weren't supposed to talk to women at that time. And then this ousted woman by this community. And he talks to her. And he goes, you know, he's talking to her in this verse. And he says, you know, he goes, you know, if you knew the water that I had, you would want it. And others would want it too. He says, because the water that I shall give to others will become to them a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. He's talking to her, and so she's like, wow, really? And then he's telling her things about her, and she's like, I got to go tell the people. And so she tells him, and then what happens? The whole town comes out and hears, and they're believing and receiving what Jesus has to offer. And they receive from the Lord. And they then will be experiencing that living water, just as we who have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. They experiencing the living water, we experience it. But we have to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we have to faithfully continue to abide in him. Because as John chapter 15 talks about, to abide in the fullness, we have to constantly be there, constantly having that surrendered heart to have it. Otherwise, we're putting a stop on that belly and that heart thing. It's not pumping it out. It's not pumping that living water. We have to continue, because otherwise, it's kind of like weakened in a sense. It doesn't have that full empowerment that living water is there for us to have, flowing freely. It's there. We have salvation, but it is not flowing freely. And he's saying, come to me and you will see what my water will do for you. It will revive. It will refresh. It will strengthen you. But you have to come, because those roots are going to grow deeper. As Evelyn's email said, growing deeper roots. It reminds me of Psalm chapter 1. Have any of you ever seen Psalm chapter 1? I remember having it memorized at one point in time, but I don't right now. And so, I mean, I'll start, you know, how you start getting started, and then you go, oh, yeah, you know. And so I'm going to look at Psalm chapter 1, and I think I had it memorized in the NIV, but blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Those roots are getting deep, 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 deep. But being in the Word of God, heeding the Word of God, listening to God, allowing yourself to be corrected, allowing yourself to repent and receive that freedom that you have by the blood that was shed for you, and that empowerment of the resurrection that is there for each and every one of us. That power of the resurrection is here, right here in this Word. But we have to be willing to receive what Jesus did for us. See, this living Word, it is free. Do you know the one, Debbie, the one that has the water coming out of the Word? That's refreshing. See, this is refreshing. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm heated up, I could sure use a refreshing cool shower. And that's what this is. When you're discouraged, when you're weary and you're sweating and you've got labor and heavy stuff going on and struggles and you're overwhelmed, and this will be refreshing, but you have to open it up. And it's then at that point, 47, Deb, that where it says that the power through the way of the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, when you're opening it up, God's living, breathing Word, that's when it will come in. And then the next slide, Deb, where it just shows that the hands, you have to receive what it has, because the Holy Spirit's there, willing to guide and direct. That power of the resurrection, Jesus is saying, basically, from this, he's saying, here's my hand, take it. This is what he's saying, yeah, take it. He's saying, every time, this is my hand to you, and I'm going to strengthen you. And I'm going to help you. This is my hand. This is Jesus saying, this is my hand to you. Will you receive what I have for you? I'm going to help you up. I'm going to help you through this. This is my hand to you. And Jesus is saying, I love you, and I died for you, and I died so that the Holy Spirit would be there for you. My Father's fullness is in me. And then that fullness, now I have been blessed to give to the Holy Spirit, to give to you, as John 16 talks about. Yeah. This is yours. This is ours to receive from him, that strength and that help for each and every day. I was looking up on this water thing in the roots, right? And I looked up online, and it says how to revive wilted potted plants. Now, I know we're looking at, you know, we want to have the deep roots, and we're going to be an oak tree, and we're going to be able to handle the storms, you know, of life. But I also like think of us, you know, we're his vessels, you know. Thou art the potter, we are the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. And so I was thinking, like, okay, Lord, you know, remember how I did the I'm a little teapot, short and stout, here's my handle, here's my spout. When I get a sting, thou hear me shout, just tip me over and pour me out. And so, but I was thinking of, like, okay, that's the Holy Spirit and the living Word and you know, the water and stuff, but this is of the potted plant. So I was like, okay, Lord, there's some beautiful potted plants. There's some really beautiful, and some of them, oh, the fragrance and the flowers and the blossoms that they have. Can you imagine this, walking around a beautiful flower potted plant and just like, oh, the smell is just as wonderful to others. But sometimes we as potted plants start kind of wilting and kind of like not looking so good. And kind of like because of the wearisome, the discouragement, and the sweating and the labor, and we haven't been getting our strength from this Word. That living water, that reviving, that freshness. And so it says, how to revive wilted potted plants. A plant that has wilted has lost the moisture from its inner cell structure. See, it's been proven that reading the Word pumps into the cells the power of this Word. This is proven scientifically by non-Christian doctors. And it pumps into the power of forgiveness pumps into, when you're honoring this Word and reading this Word, that power is coming into and it's pumping into all of your cells and your organs, and it's changing them up. That's why even whether you believe it or not, when you're not feeling it, I should say, you need to believe and receive it, but there's power in this Word, right? Okay? Now, whether you believe it or receive it, there's power in this Word. And don't base it on feelings. You keep reading it, and it's still pumping, and it's still living, and it's still doing the work that God has for it to be able to do in you and through you. Now, yeah, when you're really feeling it and stuff, yeah, you're going to emotionally feel the power of it too, and that helps. But go into this, still feeding on it, and you're feeding that living water. It is going into the inner cell structures. The roots need to be rehydrated so that they can deliver water to the foliage. You're a plant right now when you walk out. You're a plant. You're God's plant. He potted you and planted you in your pot that we have. Our physical body is a God pot. And we are his plants to go out there. And we need to be revived. Potted plants present a challenge because when they dry out, the soil pulls away from the sides of the pot. Water runs around the outside of the root ball and out the drainage hole, never reaching the water-starved roots. Here's what to do. Wash tubs, watering cans, plastic bucket. Bible, your pot, yielded heart, mind, soul, spirit, strength, to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Yield it to him to feed you, to correct you, to energize you, to comfort you, to strengthen you. So you fill a bucket, a sink, or a basin halfway with water. With a container only half full, you won't need to worry about the overflow. Make sure the container is large enough to accommodate the entire pot all the way to the rim. So we want to just be all the way, Lord. Fill us all the way to the rim and then overflowing. Plunge the plant. We need to plunge into that pot, into the water-filled container. If the rim of the pot is not covered by water, add more. Get more. Get more. If you're still feeling empty, get more. Get more. Get in there. It's all right if the water covers some of the foliage. You may need to weigh down the pot with a brick or a stone to keep it from floating to the surface. So if you're ever getting distracted, the phone rings, you got somebody else, the email, and you got the iPhone, and you got the iPad, and you've got, you know, somebody, you got to get a brick, you know, on you to get into this word. Turn the phone off. Turn the distractions off. Go into the bathroom like Joyce Meyer talks about sometimes, you know, with the kids and stuff if you have to. And just go there. There's water in the bathroom. I mean, you know, go there and get the word and read. Do whatever you need to do, whatever that brick is, to get filled up and let yourself be saturated with that water. So you keep that plant in the container until it bubbles, until the bubbles stop rising from the soil, bubbles indicating air pockets in the root ball. Get that, the words, the stuff you've heard that's full of air, full of nothing for you. It sounded good, but it's full of air. And instead, replace it so you're getting all that junk out and it's bubbling up and it's rising out and you are being filled and saturated with the Word of God. Amen. Completely saturated. Keep that plant in the water for at least a half an hour after the bubbles stop to assure that the soil is completely saturated. You know, Pastor Wayne Cadero says it's good to do an hour in the Word. I was always thinking, and Debbie and I have talked about this before, can you imagine tithing 10% of your day? About 2 hours and 40 minutes a day to the Lord? Whew! And power of prayer and the Word and reading the Word and praying and journaling and, wow, listening to the Lord. Whoa. Talk about power. So then it says to remove the pot from the container and allow the plant to drain. Because, see, when we're saturated, he doesn't saturate us to keep it to ourselves. He saturates us so we can give it to others and we can bless others. And we can pour that living water onto others. And we'll look good and smell good for him and for his glory. Others may not think that. Especially those unsaved may not think that so much. But the Lord will. The Lord will be glorified because you saturated yourself. You put your pot where it needed to be. And you allowed yourself to be saturated. Place the potted plant inside and then remove it and take it where it needs to go. We need to be that potted plant. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 23 through 28 talks about, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, once more they shall use these words in the land of Judah and in her cities when I release them from exile. The Lord bless you, O habitation of justice and righteousness, O holy mountain, and the people of Judah and all its cities shall dwell there together. Nomad farmers and those who wander about with their flocks. For I, the Lord God Almighty, fully satisfy the weary soul, and I will replenish every languishing and sorrowful person. Thereupon I, Jeremiah, awoke and looked, and my trance-like sleep was sweet in the assurance it gave to me. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed offspring of a man and a beast. And it will be that as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to overthrow and destroy and afflict this evil, so will I watch over them to build and to plant with good, says the Lord. He wants to revive us, each one of us who are totally and completely His. He will look at the hearts and strengthen those and help those whose heart are His. If you are thirsty, let Him come to me. And we need to remember that we need to have that childlike faith to receive what He has for us. Yes, come to me, you who are overwhelmed, and I will give you rest. Whether you're feeling dog-tired or like a little kitty cat that's just burnt out. On slide 49, it talks about this. Come to me, you who are overwhelmed, and I will give you rest. But we need to have that childlike faith. And then we know that at night, we can sleep in peace tonight. I love Psalm 4:8. It says, I will lie down both in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. God is bigger than anything you will face tomorrow. But we need to remember to have that childlike faith to receive. And the Hebrews, the Jewish, their day starts in the evening. Maybe we should be in the Word, lying down like this little girl, and reading the Word before we go to sleep, meditating on it, maybe even just one verse, meditating on it, receiving it, and claiming that He is with you. There are scriptures that talk about how He counsels us as we sleep. Let Him be your counselor, your helper, your standby, your advocate, your strengthener. This is what the Word says that the Holy Spirit is, your intercessor. He is the one that will teach you all things. He is the one that will remind you of everything that Jesus said. And Jesus is the Word, as John chapter 1 talks about. John 14:26, you claim that before you go to bed. Claim John 16:13-15, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all the truth. And will remind you of all the things. And will guide you and tell you of things to come. Because it says all the fullness that Jesus had was given to Him to give to us. The Holy Spirit. He is ours. And we need to remember to have that power. There is a picture, that last picture, that I loved it when I found this. And this is what the Word of God can do when you're feeling wearisome, when you're tired, when you're down, when you're struggled. Okay, now maybe a guy doesn't want to hug like that. So it's like, ooh, you know, yeah, dude, you know, whatever you guys want for your strength. Maybe you don't want a hug, but, you know, doing that chest bump, yeah, dudes, yeah. But that's what, you know, whatever it is for you. But for us, sometimes as women, we're just wanting a hug. So when you're in this Word, receive what He has for you. Come to me, all you who are weary, who are heavy laden, who are overburdened, who are just overwhelmed with stuff, who are struggling, come to me. And I, the Lord God Almighty, will give you rest. There is so much power in that one verse. One verse, so much power. And he is there to give us the rest that each of us needs. God loves us. In this power of the word, we will, Pastor Janet and I will be sharing a song over you, and I want you, instead of having our prayer altar ministry, you're going to just receive from the Lord the refreshing that he has for you. One thing, though, before, is I noticed that I made an error on last week's when I sent this out, the word to us, and I had, like, part of the verse, and I forgot to put it in the wrong place. So this is in the right order. So I wanted to hand this out to each of you, and it's redone in the right order. So get rid of the last one, and because it's in the wrong order, and then this is in the right order. This is something that is the word to us at Pathway of Hope and for this area, remember, and beyond, as we continue to grow and glow for the Lord. So it is just so awesome. But I want you to receive this. This is the time of refreshing for the Lord. Now, this is where the Lord works. I was looking and saying, Lord, what song do you want to end with? What do you want? I know that there's a song. I knew that there was a song to be sung, and I was looking online, and then I came to the song. So I was listening to it on the way to our leadership thing. On the way to Phoenix, we had a leadership development for the Foursquare and in the Phoenix area, and it was, you know, a lot of Friday and Saturday, and so driving up, I was listening to it on my iPhone. I had downloaded onto it, and then on the way back, and then I was going, okay, Lord, I'll get back to the slides and finish up the slides and stuff, and I hadn't really paid attention. I had done some slides because I did some more stuff with the, you know, announcements. I was having fun with PowerPoint as I was learning more, and then I didn't pay attention to the last song. I just wanted to make sure that I had the slides in the right place for Pastor Janet's last worship song. And I was going to go to the internet so I could print the words, and I was trying to remember, okay, Lord, because I got to lead this a cappella, so because it's like too late to ask Pastor Janet. So I'll just lead this a cappella, and then I go to it and put it, and I call her. I go, that is the song. That is the song that God gave me. I said, wow. Once again, not talking, but the Holy Spirit leading. Once again, I was trying to get to the Pulpit Freedom Sunday sermon, and the Lord led it differently this week. And so I followed the Lord's leading, and then so did she. And look at this. So I want you to receive this. You're going to receive the power. Lord, I ask and pray that in this song, each one will receive your power, your healing, ministering power. Each one of us could use your refreshing, Lord. Life, just being life. It says in this world you will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, Lord, we are claiming that in the midst of the trials and tribulations, each of us, the challenges each of us are going through, may we each receive the refreshing, the rest which comes with refreshing. Lord, may we receive what you have for each one of us, Lord. So I want you to receive this. You're going to receive the power. Lord, I ask and pray that in this song, each one will receive your power, your healing, ministering power. Each one of us could use your refreshing, Lord. Life, just being life. It says in this world you will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, Lord, we are claiming that in the midst of the trials and tribulations, each of us, the challenges each of us are going through, may we each receive the refreshing, the rest which comes with refreshing. Lord, may we receive what you have for each one of us, Lord. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you and praise you for your precious holy word. And I claim the power of your precious holy word. I declare the power of your precious holy word, and I pray the power of your precious holy word over each one of us here, Lord. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Lord, you say that you, Lord God, may you, Lord God, may you bless each one here. May you watch over each one. May you guard each one. And may you keep each one. May you, Lord God, make your face to shine upon and enlighten you, each one here, and be gracious. May each one receive your graciousness. May each one receive that you will be kind and merciful and giving favor unto each one, Lord, because of you and your wonderful, awesome, precious love through Jesus, their personal Lord and Savior. May you, Lord God, lift up your approving countenance upon each one and give them your peace, because the peace, Lord, that you give is not like the world gives. Your peace, it surpasses all understanding to guard each one's heart and mind who has Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So may we continue to surrender to you, Lord God, and be empowered and walking with the power that you have for each one of us, Lord, as we continue to faithfully listen to you and heed you. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And what I want us to remember is that we are missionaries. I want us to dare to be a disciple. I want each of us to dare to be that disciple. Because it is when we dare to be that disciple, that is when we can be a light to that mission field out there. So, everyone who is saved is a missionary. And everyone who is unsaved is our mission field. So we need to remember that we need to be empowered by the Word of God, continuing to be refreshed. For there's weariness in this world. It's just, that's part of the world that we live in. But as we continue to rest in Him, we are refreshed. And we are able to be that awesome missionary. And a wave will go out as we are going out there. We will make waves for the Lord by His power. So be blessed.